Mini episode 247 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by First Down Scouting, delivering the most thorough scouting service available, uncovering the NFL stars of tomorrow. Follow them on the web at the number 1stdownscouting.com.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Okay, folks, it's the big one. After an entire season of building up to this, Rick Morris and Kyle Ross here for FDH Lounge mini episode number 247, a.k.a. the Super Bowl preview. We have been going since the preseason here. We took a look at all of the divisions going into the season. We've taken a look at it week by week, including the playoffs. Aside from that,
although I understand it was more heavily bet than both NBA games on Sunday,
yeah.
I'll tell you what.
Shows you where the NBA still runs.
Boston, Oklahoma City Lakers can't get any action?
Yeah, not compared to the Pro Bowl, which tells you all you need to know about that for how everybody rags on it. So we'll take a little bit of a look back to Championship Sunday, a little bit of a look ahead to Super Bowl Sunday here.
A lot of bit of a look, I think. It's kind of an important game, I suppose.
Yeah, some would say. And, a battle that nobody really expected to see. I think we expected to see the NFC half of this thing going into it. We talked about going into Championship Sunday, San Francisco being a road favorite at Atlanta. We talked about that on the show. The eye test in recent years, Green Bay a road favorite at Chicago for the NFC Championship. When a team is favored on the road, it's because they passed that eye test. It's for a reason. Now, ironically, San Francisco not covering in the game here.
It depends. Now, that depends. I was going to, just a quick note on that.
Yeah.
I think for a lot of people who, if you bet it early, they did cover.
That's true.
They opened at 3.
Okay.
Believe it or not, there was a place that I got the line at 3, not making
nice.
It up.
Okay.
I got it at 3-1. Now, I do realize most people lost, so for the purpose of this show, I was kind of just mentioning to you real quick off the air, I'll just count it as a push in my records for the show.
All right.
Just because results will vary.
What do you get for the playoffs?
7-2-1. We did obviously
cash
the AFC. Didn't think you and I both had Baltimore plus the points. Neither of us thought that we thought it'd be close. Didn't see the outright win, certainly.
Right.
But it's funny, after we did the show, I was so adamant about San Francisco over Atlanta. And you're right, road favorites going back now, throughout history, very profitable in the conference championship round. It doesn't happen often.
Right.
There was one year, I think 98, that it happened in both games.
Right.
But the only home dog that's ever covered in a conference championship game going all the way back to 84 was Arizona against Philadelphia.
Okay,
in the
yeah.
NFC the one year. So, it will be, so I wasn't surprised by San Francisco, but I will say that I was a little less confident as the game drew near. And on the flip side, Baltimore, I grew a lot more confident as the game that they were the right play and that they had a shot at the outright upset.
Sure.
They seem to be, we've seen it in the last couple of years especially. It's not like it used to be in the 80s and early 90s where the dominant teams would get there.
Mm-hmm.
It's a hot team.
Right.
That gets there. And Baltimore certainly kind of qualifies as a hot team right now. The Niners, the more dominant team throughout, they certainly have the better regular season resume. But you're right, to your initial point, San Francisco, not a surprise that they're here. Baltimore, I think most people are surprised that they're here. And that's going to be the crux of my argument when we make our Super Bowl pick a little bit later on. But
absolutely. And by the way, 61% for you in the regular season, so a stellar season.
Yeah, and 7-2-1 in the playoffs. We're doing well. I'll
doing
tell you
very
what.
Well.
You know, I put
it
out on the line, and it worked out well.
Yeah, my playoff pick's 5-5 thus far. But again, people are coming for your picks, not mine, so I get off scot-free on that. I'm not the guy that's done this professionally.
Yeah,
so
it'll be tough to match.
Pass.
I mean, a lot of people did well. I mean, I'm not the only guy who did well. I'm not going to claim that I'm the best in the world or anything like that on this. A lot of guys did well on the radio, I heard, but if you grind at it, you have a system, you can do well. So
yeah,
one game left, and I'll be honest with you, I'm not very good at picking the Super Bowl usually. I've come out more often than not on the wrong end in recent years. I had the Patriots last year, so.
It's tough. It's hard to get a feel for this one. I know which way I'm going to go, but you can make a compelling argument either way. And again, in the AFC Championship game, when you talk about Baltimore in there, we both had them to cover, not necessarily to win. Neither one of us thought that would be the case. But we did both say, we covered ourselves and said puncher's chance, because after looking at what they did to Denver, how could you not say puncher's chance? And that's exactly what happened. Two halves that are very, very, very strange going into the Super Bowl, and particularly for the way that you and I are likely to break on picking the game. The first half of the NFC Championship game and the second half of the AFC Championship game, it's hard to reconcile that, because the way that Baltimore just shut down New England in the second half and the way that San Francisco was shut down and let Atlanta go up and down the field on them in the first half of the NFC title tilt.
Okay, I'm interested to hear where you go with that later on.
Okay.
I want to do something first. I want to make one last note on the conference championship games. I told you I was going to do this. I like to always think that, you know, you have me on here because I give a different look and I surprise you week to week. I'm going to surprise you here.
Okay.
I want to talk about the two teams that lost in the conference championship games real quick.
Okay.
Now, everyone who's listened to the show knows that I mock Atlanta fairly regularly.
Mm-hmm.
They did beat Seattle. I will still say to my dying day they were not the better team that day, but
they
won the game.
Time zone asterisk.
Yeah, okay. It's not just that. It just – I think Seattle was a little too excited about the comeback and fell asleep at the wheel at the end, but whatever.
Yeah.
That's water under the bridge. Atlanta, New England, last 5 years only. Just forget about everything that's happened before the last 5 years. Aren't they the same team?
They kind of are.
And where
did Dimitrov come from?
You knew this was kind of coming, so you're not as shocked. You didn't have to think about it, but we all kind of hail Brady as having the clutch gene, whatever that means. We all bow at the altar of Brady and Belichick.
Sure.
And New England seems like, meanwhile, Atlanta, you know, by people like me get mocked because they, up until this year, had never won a playoff game in the Ryan Smith era.
Mm-hmm.
But let's take a look just at the last 5 years. And this is not a complete original thought. I did read an excellent column that was written by Bill Barnwell on Grantland. But I had always thought about this New England, and I think I've mentioned before with you when we've previewed seasons and just talked about New England in general. I want to go back to a game that we've kidded about a few times, the 07 AFC Championship game, a game where Philip Rivers gave quite possibly the most courageous effort this country had seen since D-Day.
I hate that he stayed in there instead of yielding to Billy Volek.
Okay, but whatever, okay. But since that game, New England has only won 3 playoff games. They beat a Tim Tebow-led Broncos team, which is the history books will probably go down and say was one of the most overachieving teams in NFL history.
Yeah.
The following week, they beat Baltimore, a game that they were outplayed and probably should have lost if not for a drop pass in the end zone and then a missed field goal.
Yeah.
And then this year, they beat a Houston team who you and I both like, but let's be honest, is still kind of cutting its teeth when it comes to winning
and was not
going to
win on the road up there, was not going to win in the snow. No way.
So they – look, they have more playoff wins in the last 5 years than Atlanta, who's just got the one. But Atlanta has – look who New England's beaten, those three teams I just mentioned.
Yeah.
Atlanta, we always kind of kidded about and joked and thought it was going to be a case of deja vu, in their case a bad case of deja vu by drawing Seattle this year. They've always run into the hot team.
They have.
They ran into the Packers when the Packers won the Super Bowl, the Giants when the Giants won the Super Bowl, Arizona when Arizona made it to the Super Bowl.
And could very well still happen in that they lost to San Francisco this year.
Yes. So, here's – I don't want to mock Atlanta. Atlanta, whatever, they did a little bit better than I thought they were going to do. They're fine. But I think that they're just the same as New England in that they're built to succeed in the regular season. But I think these two teams' ceilings aren't as high as some of the other teams like a San Francisco or maybe even a Seattle when they're at their best. And they can be had – in a one-game, winner-take-all environment.
Don't you think Atlanta, though, is still a work in progress? This was their first year under this new super-geared offense, the high-powered offense.
And they're in better shape, obviously, because they're younger.
That's what I'm saying.
What's going to happen to New England when Brady goes?
I don't think we can necessarily define Atlanta looking ahead, you know, necessarily just by everything we've seen thus far from them. Whereas with New England, they look like they're on the downhill side of the slope after what happened last week.
Well, we'll talk about this in a different episode when we kind of look at each of the divisions, look into our crystal ball for next year.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't just throw away what New England did in the early part of the 2000s, obviously.
True.
I mean, that's not right. But when was the last time? I think they get a pass, a very large pass, because of what they did then. Let me ask you this question. When was the last time New England won a big playoff game?
A big one?
Well, a game that they weren't – they've lost a lot of games that they should have won big compared to, you know, beating a team that's, you know, theoretically on their level. I thought about this. Baltimore, in the Flacco era,
mm-hmm.
should have three road wins in New England. They've beaten them twice.
Yeah.
They beat them in a wild card game. Ray Rice had a big day. It was a blowout.
Yeah, that was a massacre.
And there was the AFC Championship game last year that they should have won.
That's the sole big win of the last couple of years. You're right.
But it's a game that they should have lost, probably.
You could make the case that, you know, teams like New England find a way to win games like that.
I think that one was on Baltimore. The kicker
you're
missing,
right.
the guy dropping, Evans dropping the end zone. But here's the thing. Look at some of New England's other losses. Lost as a 9-point favorite to the Jets.
Sure.
The one year. They were a huge favorite against the Giants in the Super Bowl the
sure.
first time. They were favored to beat the Giants last year.
Sure.
I mean, I went back. Even the Chargers game we just joked about, going
yeah.
all the way back to that point,
mm-hmm.
Tomlinson pulled himself from the game and Rivers was on one leg.
Right.
And the game before that, they beat a Jacksonville team they were heavily favored to beat
yeah.
with David Garrard at quarterback. The year before, I've done my research, as
you
can
have,
tell here.
Yeah.
They
I'm
blew
impressed.
A gigantic lead to Indianapolis in the AFC Championship game.
Right.
Let me pull up. I mean, I can't remember the last time New England had an impressive playoff win. And doesn't that put them in the same boat as Atlanta, at least recently?
They're teams
that have great regular seasons and flame out. New England flames out just – here's my point of the whole thing. Believe it or not, there is one.
Mm-hmm.
It sometimes takes me a while to get to it, but there always is one. New England, I think, is more guilty of flaming out bad worse than Atlanta has over the last 5 years.
You're right about that. I think that's a very good point. As far as your research goes, the only quote that I'll make on that is, I'm impressed, and I don't impress easy, Monsoon.
I like that.
Thank you.
That was very good.
Thank you. You did a great
I use that sometimes.
You did a great job on that.
I just want to take a look here, go back in time with New England, and take a look at what they've done here. I'm just looking at there was the year 2010. Obviously last year they lost in the Super Bowl. 2010, they lost outright as a 9-point home favorite to the Jets. 2009, were favorite at home in the wild card round, got blown out by Baltimore 33-14.
Yeah.
2008 was the year I believe they missed the playoffs.
At
11-5,
yeah.
At Castle at quarterback.
Yeah.
2007 was the year they were going for perfection.
Yeah.
Lost to the Giants. Year before that was the big loss to Indianapolis when they blew the huge lead. I remember doing an episode of SNS, by the way, watching that game.
Okay.
They had a huge lead, blew it to Indianapolis.
Yeah.
The year before that, they lost in the division round to Denver.
Yeah, that was a big upset. That was a Saturday
You'd have to
night
go
game.
Back, honestly, since they've won the Super Bowl last, when they beat
Philadelphia. Yeah.
I don't think they have an impressive playoff win.
That's very interesting.
That's a long time. That's longer than the Smith-Ryan era, by the way.
No,
they have not. I mean, the teams they've beaten in the playoffs, Jacksonville with Garrard, San Diego and Rivers was on one leg,
right.
Tim Tebow, a Baltimore game they were badly outplayed in last year, and then Houston this year who's still trying to find its teeth in the big game environment. New England, and look, they're all right in the short term because that division is just no team in that division. I mean, there's
no.
a huge gap that still exists
yeah.
between them and the field. But I'm just saying. I'm not on here. I'm going to give Atlanta a pass this week, and I think New England should clearly be the more criticized of the two conference championship losers.
You're right about that. Where I'll give them a partial pass, though, is this, and it's very interesting that San Francisco makes the Super Bowl here for the first time since the 94 season. Think about all the teams of the decade. Next to San Francisco, which won a Super Bowl 4 years into the next decade, New England has had the best sustained run next to that the 49ers team of the 80s. This is the team of the 2000s, and we're criticizing them in 2013 for not winning and going to the Super Bowl. Now, everything you said is
it's
valid.
True. You're right there.
But they have sustained, even if it's an overrated run in your eyes, and I get that, but, I mean, they have stayed at a higher level longer. than the Dallas team of the 90s, the Steelers of the 70s, the Packers of the 60s. Next to the 49ers of the 80s, nobody's carried it over into the next decade like the Pats have. So even if they've fallen off.
I'll give you that.
And
yeah.
I'll grant you that. I think you're right about that. But I just want to put it in the historical context.
That's a very good comeback. I just think that, you know, big game Tom Brady.
Right.
Is kind of overrated now. They've flamed out spectacularly in the last couple of years in the playoffs.
And I'm not somebody that likes Brady or Belichick or Chouds in general or anything. I'm just trying to be fair.
Look, here's the thing. You know, we were kind of joking about some other issues off air that nothing's absolute. I'm not saying that New England stinks.
Right, right.
I'm just saying that they're not infallible either.
No.
They're still, look, for next year,
mm-hmm.
you know, we're going to talk about, you know, later today, and there'll be obviously, you know, when they're released down the line, subsequent mini episodes where we look at the divisions, like I said.
Mm-hmm.
Are you really not going to pick New England to win the division next year, barring some huge seismic shift that we can't anticipate
you
in the next couple
to.
Months? But I just think that, oh, it's a big game. You got to love Brady and Belichick. I think that's silliness.
Yeah, no, I would tend to agree with that. As far as the teams making it, there's a real unlikelihood to what happened here, because I'm going to give you the list of teams that lost the title game and went on to win the conference title game the next year. You got to go back to, well, New England in 07 was the last to do it. And let's look at the AFC. Pittsburgh in 05, Pittsburgh in 95, Oakland in 76. In the NFC, Philly in 04, Green Bay 96, Dallas in 95. So in 95, both Dallas and Pittsburgh managed it. It's the only other time it's ever happened.
Okay, after losing the conference championship in the previous
year.
Okay.
Yeah, Washington in 87, Chicago in 85, San Fran in 84. It happened a lot in the 80s. And then the Rams in 79. So it used to be more commonplace, but haven't seen it as much the last couple of years. So for San Fran and Baltimore to say a year ago, that's okay, we'll take the next step next year, they did it, but it's very unlikely when you look at the history of it.
Both bitter losses. I mean, you know, we talk about how Baltimore outplayed New England in last year's AFC title game, probably should have won.
Yeah.
Let's not forget about San Francisco.
The
fumbles, the special teams gaffes, they probably should have beaten the Giants. So it is remarkable that the two you could suffer those bitter losses and there's not that hangover the next year. Because I'll be honest with you, at the beginning of the year, I thought both these teams would take a little bit of a step back. I did not think – I mean, in the case of Baltimore, I didn't think they'd make the playoffs.
No.
In San Francisco, I thought they'd still win what I thought was going to be a weak NFC West, but I didn't think they'd be as strong now as we're going to – I think that's a nice segue somewhat to – you can't look at these teams now like you looked at them back in September. There have been major, major changes on both sides. You were talking about that you almost have to throw the statistics out the window when breaking down this Super Bowl. With San Francisco, obviously, it's a tale of two seasons. You had the Alex Smith games, and then now with Kaepernick, they're a totally different team. He has just such a different dynamic. And, you know,
same thing with Jim Caldwell,
And by the way, I kind of like what Cam Cameron. I don't know if there was some tongue-in-cheek stuff there. Did you hear what he said?
He said he was rooting for them.
I like that. He called it he called his firing a brilliant move. Well, that's refreshing to hear.
Here's
in this
the thing,
day
and
age.
Though, and it's pretty stupid because here's the thing: he will never get a job above Waterboy ever again unless Jim Caldwell calls the worst game in the history of the Super Bowl and they lose 49-0. Cam Cameron is done because he should have been exposed before this as a very overrated offensive mind. He's been completely exposed now. Cam Cameron is being a little too magnanimous for his own good because every subsequent Baltimore win is putting him lower and lower on
maybe
the
dung heap
being
of
professional honest.
Football.
I mean,
he's an older guy too, right? I mean, he's not
a
spring chicken. Well, he was also the coach of that awful Miami team that was very fortunate.
As a Dolphins fan, he helped make them awful. Ted Ginn, ninth pick of the draft.
No.
Let's not let him off the hook for 1-15.
I'm not. I'm saying Cam Cameron, in fact, stink.
I'm
saying that he might stink.
Okay.
But I'm giving him credit for realizing he stinks.
Okay.
Is what I'm saying.
I'm not saying,
oh, Cam Cameron's great. He deserves another chance. I'm just saying that's some good self-awareness, being like, hey, I wasn't getting it done.
That's tremendous self-awareness.
Yeah, so that's all I'm saying with
that.
And that being said, Baltimore just still seems like the bigger surprise. With some of the more recent Super Bowl champions, looking at the Packers and the Giants just the last 2 years, you saw them peaking toward the end of the regular season. Baltimore was not playing well at the end of the regular season.
No,
they didn't play particularly well against Indianapolis in the wild card round. I thought the Colts just stunk in that game.
Having said that, though, here's the thing in looking at this. Ever since 1990, when the NFL went to its present format of six teams making the playoffs per conference, 7-4 overall and 5-1 since 2005, teams that played three rounds versus teams that played two rounds. So the whole thing of momentum is real. Last year with the Giants, 2010 with Green Bay, the only loser in all of this was Arizona in 2008, and I'd call that loser with an asterisk because I think Santonio Holmes is still juggling that football.
Stop it. 2007. I'll tell you what, Browns fans will hold on to anything. I mean, get the Buffalo chicken dip out of your mouth. I'm sorry you lose every year, but why not salute someone when they win?
I still hate the Squealers. 2007, the Giants did that. 2006, Indianapolis. 2005, Pittsburgh. It's 5-1 since 2005, so we can't dismiss
that
all together.
That the team that's played
three games versus two, yeah, has won the Super Bowl. So that's not inconsequential.
Now, I'm not saying no. I mean, it's not at all. It's not at all. I'm just saying that when you compare this Ravens team to the last two Super Bowl champions, those teams were hot at the end of the regular season. Green Bay, especially. Green Bay had to win the last couple weeks just to get in the playoffs.
Right.
The Giants last year looked as good as anyone coming into the playoffs.
Right.
The Ravens were kind of like, okay, they got a remember what we were saying? They got a fortunate draw with Indianapolis. The Colts kind of, you know, Cinderella lost her glass slipper in the wild card game. But no one was giving the Ravens a chance against Denver. I remember last year, as good as the Packers were in the regular season, people were like, woof, this Giants, I know the Packers were good, but this Giants team is peaking right now. You didn't have that.
No, you're right.
And they were fortunate to win. I mean, look, they put it all together.
Right.
I mean, you could certainly make a case, I think, and I'm not looking at the Ravens' year-to-date results. And I'm just doing a pause here real quick. All right, here it is. Other than week one on Monday Night Football, we referenced this game during the course of the year when we were talking about Baltimore, how they didn't have many dominant games. Other than that game when they killed Cincinnati on Monday Night Football, there's no other game that compares to what they did in the AFC Championship game. Those were by far their two best games all year.
Yeah, in between the bookends. No, you're right about that.
Now, they didn't get blown out a lot either.
Right.
But they were close to a lot of bad teams.
They beat the Giants pretty good toward the end. That's when the Giants were in a tailspin, but still.
They did. You're right. That was another good one.
Yeah,
that was another good one. Their backs were against the wall. I'm forgetting about that. I apologize.
I forgot. I apologize. But you're basically right. I mean, I think they didn't finish.
Now, let's give them some slack with the defense.
Yeah.
I saw this today.
The third reason you can't really count the stats in this game.
During the regular season, Ed Reed, Ray Lewis, Terrell Suggs, the three kind of linchpins of that defense, did not play together in any games.
Okay.
I mean, that's crazy. And what's funny is their defensive, with those three in, haven't been great in the playoffs. They've been giving up a lot of yards, but as you like to say, it's been a real bend-but-don't-break situation. The Colts only scored 9 points. When you hold New England under 14 points, that's something. That hadn't happened since week two.
Right.
So, like I said, they really had their best game, arguably the season, in the AFC Championship game. So, I can... That's the case for Baltimore, is the hot team has been winning the Super Bowl, not the team with a better regular season resume.
Right, right. And it's a thing, too, where you look at it, and I think we've been putting over Grantland a lot. I'm going to do it one more time. There was an article I saw, I think, at the beginning of the playoffs, contrasting the NFL with the English Premier League. And a thing, it's two entirely different things altogether because and I'm somebody that's a little bit of a purist, so I like the regular season to matter. You'd have a hard time arguing that the regular season has really mattered. Again, with the Giants and Packers being the last two Super Bowl champions and Baltimore making it out of the AFC this year versus in the English Premier League, whoever has the best regular season record by automatic dint is the champion of it. This is something where it's a whole new season, folks. This match must continue, you know, and it just becomes a permutation in the playoffs of, you know, the best team might not necessarily make it. Now, in the NFC, I don't know who you'd argue for other than maybe Seattle because they didn't get a crack at San Francisco in the championship game. In the
those
AFC,
are my two top teams. If you remember, I had Seattle number one going into the playoffs and San Francisco number two.
Right. And I guess you could argue in the AFC for Denver, and that if Denver played Baltimore 10 times, who would win 10 times? I mean, you could make that argument.
Well, we spoke at great length on the last show that because they kind of went up to the number one seed when Houston gagged late, that I think Denver became overrated late in the year. You and I were very slow to elevate them throughout the year. We kept asking, who have they beaten? Who have they beaten? Who have they beaten? And when they kind of got elevated to number one seed status by default, all of a sudden we're like, they are definitely a top five team. But I had them I had them only fourth going into the playoffs.
Well, and here's the thing, too, and I looked this up because I thought this was the case, and it turned out to be the case. Same place you can find our shows, the FDH Lounge Multimedia Magazine, the fdhlounge.blogspot.com. I've got rankings, power rankings week by week during the season. And what I also like to do, as you know, Kyle, is take those and compile divisional power rankings to see on that. And Baltimore and San Francisco are the champions of the two toughest divisions by adding up the cumulative rankings of all the teams in the division. The AFC North was the toughest division over there. The NFC West, as striking as that would be to say a year or two ago, it had the highest ranking in there because, you got...
Well, because you have the two heavyweights.
Even St. Louis, a pretty darn good third-place team. Yeah. Arizona sucked balls, but, I mean, Arizona or St. Louis really kind of brought things up. So you have two very tested teams coming into this. But, again, you'd have a hard time saying that the regular season showed that these were the two best teams.
It's interesting what you say about that. I just thought of something here. Compare Baltimore's division, because here's the thing. In the AFC, right, when you look back at this year and then you even look to next year, the AFC North is by far the toughest division in the AFC. When you look at New England and Denver's divisions, they were the only teams to make it, and the rest of their divisions were all, especially in Denver's case, were all awful, the rest of the teams.
What did we say about Denver in the last time we did this? Glass jaw.
Yeah.
And they were exposed against Baltimore.
I mean, those are teams that play six of their 16 games against weak teams. Denver swept the division, right? Yes, they swept the division. So they're 6-0 against the division.
Yeah.
And New England, they swept the division too, right? They were 6-0.
Yeah, I think they were.
They beat the Jets.
I don't think they didn't lose to Buffalo or Miami, I don't think. I don't have it in front of me, but... No,
I don't think they did. So that's something to take a look at, honestly. Whereas the 49ers, you're right, they got beat up real bad toward the end of the year by Seattle, up in Seattle, and they lost to and tied the Rams.
Yeah.
So something I'm going to keep an eye on. Tough divisions. Give teams that win the tougher divisions more credit.
Yeah.
I'm going to give that credit. I just learned something. I got to write that down.
Yeah, I had a feeling about that, and I looked it up, and it did prove to be the case. So these are the things that we're looking at as opposed to, again, just a parade of statistics, which I cannot remember a Super Bowl where the statistics were kind of as invalidated as they are coming in because, again, three of the four sides of the ball here, we talked about it, both offenses with the big changes late in the year, and then Baltimore's defense, which was incomplete for much of the year. Only the San Francisco defense is something that we can really evaluate. And even then, you've got Smith getting, a little bit banged up coming off the edge here. That is one where, again, I think, even with Baltimore getting their guys back, San Francisco has a better defense.
Yes, they do.
And that's ultimately why I'm going which way I'm going in the game. Spoiler alert. But it's a thing where, again, you just get the sense going into a game like this in terms of, again, if this is a thing more of parity in the league or whatever, but more of an anything-can-happen vibe in terms of the 60 minutes of this game, because I go back to it again. The first half of the NFC Championship game, the second half of the AFC Championship game, both very unlikely. Both teams that are in the Super Bowl have been up and down in the playoffs. You talk about the hot team, quote-unquote. Baltimore's been hot and cold at various points in the three games. They won them all, but they haven't looked dominant.
If it's not for an inexplicably atrocious defensive play by Denver, they don't make the conference. They lose that game.
Right.
I mean, it took a miracle defensive gaffe by the Broncos for the Ravens to advance. The 49ers have found themselves in an early hole in both of their games. Remember, Kaepernick threw the pick six against Green Bay. Now, from that point on, they were just dominant.
Well,
and the same thing. And That's what's amazing. See, this Kaepernick, I think this guy's great. I mean, I love to just definitively say something that's so obvious, but the same thing.
He's really shined under pressure this year.
Yes, yes, he has. He has. But last, even against Atlanta, when they're down 17-0, you know, I was like, oh, my God, Atlanta's really making me look dumb. And they just came down and they scored, I think, right away.
Right.
And when they did that, you're like, you know what? I think they're just going to come back and stomp them. And they did. I mean, there was just no panic. They just kept doing what they were doing. They didn't change the game plan at all.
Right.
And, you know, ultimately, I just think they're the better team here. I mean, I don't know if it is it time to give picks or not.
We're starting to go to that,
okay.
Yeah.
But I know the hot team, quote-unquote, we've said this a million times already, the team with momentum, the team that's maybe played the extra game, has gotten it done in the Super Bowl. I just, when I look at this, I can't rectify what I've thought of Baltimore all year, that they're a pretty mediocre team. Could beat a San Francisco team that I've had basically. I mean, what's the low? You talk about your power rankings and things like that. What's the lowest San Francisco's been all year? I mean, San Francisco's a team that I've had in my top three probably all year. And I know that that hasn't held up in previous Super Bowls, but to me, I just like the 49ers. The NFC is the better conference. You talk about stronger divisions. NFC is the better conference. They've covered the last five Super Bowls.
Yeah, including the Arizona-Pittsburgh one. Yeah.
I'm going San Francisco here to cover the game and win their sixth Super Bowl.
I am, but I think it's going to be very, very close to
the
number.
It's not
going to
be. They will not win this game by two touchdowns.
No. They won't be. Now, on San Francisco, again, I've been a little bit more now, again, I started with San Francisco 10. I started with them lower than most. Having said that, the lowest I ever had them after that was 6.
Okay.
So they were there.
Because they opened with that very impressive win over Green Bay.
And I moved them up to 4 right off the bat after that one. Now, Baltimore. I didn't have Baltimore until the third last week of the season. I never had them as low as 10. The last 3 weeks of this, I'm sorry, 4 weeks, I had them 10, 12, 11, and then I had them in my final regular season once at 13.
Yeah, that's where
now,
I had them. Yeah.
This is the thing here, too, because I think you're right to make a differentiation between them, the Giants, and the Packers the last 2 years here. Those teams, again, you could see it building coming into the playoffs. And that's where I'm not going to necessarily associate Baltimore with this 5-1 trend since 05, even though technically there's nothing that would separate them from that. It's the same circumstances. But again, we talk about it, the eyeball test. They don't look the same as the Giants did last year.
No.
They don't look the same as the Packers did the year before. Again, they've been kind of up and down on some things here. I think, again, you're looking at a circumstance where Baltimore is, and the great Platinum Smalls from the 21st Century Media Alliance fed me this today, that I think the numbers, and this was truly remarkable, the Ravens averaged, I think, 61% passes under Cam Cameron and only 51% under Caldwell. And yet, they're much more aggressive with Caldwell. They're going downfield more. And I'm thinking 61%. They weren't going downfield as much. They were dinking and dunking. And yet, Ray Rice didn't get the ball enough of the time on dinks and dunks. How do you sit there and dink and dunk without using Ray Rice anymore?
That's why Cam Cameron's fired and watching the game with you and I.
Oh, God, yeah. I mean, it's remarkable. So, again, they were really handicapping themselves a good part of the year as far as that went. You got to think, again, San Francisco very good against the run. Baltimore, I'm sure, is going to be trying to work the play action to kind of loosen things up, and they're capable of doing that. And you know, Ray Rice is a heck of a talent there. And I think at this stage of the game, the better of the two main running backs here, Frank Gore may be in a position to get used more effectively. He's somebody that I actually think can be the MVP of the game. And looking at the line, I've seen it fluctuating between 3.5 and 4. What I'm actually going to do here in making my pick for the score is to kind of cheat a little bit, because my initial pick was going to be San Francisco 24-20, but I didn't want to look completely ballless and end up calling for what would be a push in some circles. So I'm going to say 24-19. Baltimore scores late, goes for 2, misses it. So San Francisco wins by 5.
So you're laying the points as well.
Shading my pick.
Okay, so we agree with San Francisco, and when we agree, it's worked out.
Yeah.
So far.
Yeah. Well, especially in the regular season when we were doing our thing of making our strong picks. So that would put me on San Francisco and the under as the play is at 47.5.
Yeah, I'm conflicted on this total. I'm really conflicted on this total. Another historical thing. Last 11 Super Bowls, underdogs covered 8 times.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, again, that makes me nervous. Yeah.
But, so, yeah, it does. You're right. And plus that half point. Look, the numbers come down, but it's still above that key number of 3.
Yeah, Vegas could get middled here. There's no question
about it. And they're very worried about it. There was a Pittsburgh-Dallas Super Bowl.
13, yes. Back in 79.
Yeah, that they talk about that happened. It's amazing that you knew where I was going with that.
Oh, yeah, yeah, because I've read the story on this. A couple of irrelevant last little notes here that I have on this. That this is the third Super Bowl to take place on February 3rd. Again, they've only been doing Super Bowls in February for about a decade now. And the look that I'm getting from you, Kyle, is of disbelief that I'm going here, but I am. This is the third one to take place on February 3rd. It is the sixth date in history to hold 3 Super Bowls. the look you are giving me, Kyle, is one of complete disbelief. I'm going to go a step further with this as well, and that this is the first Super Bowl to take place on February 3rd without New England in it. Super Bowls 36 and 42 took place on February 3rd, and both feature the New England Patriots. This is the first one that does not feature the Patriots in a Super Bowl on November 3rd, on February 3rd. So you are, I can see how befuddled you are by this, that I've gone this far into the weeds on finding statistics.
Yeah, talking about going far into the weeds. Ooh, yeah. I don't want to hear any criticism of me, okay?
I'm going to go real Pete Axthelm on you here with these next two. All right, Baltimore is trying to win the Super Bowl after a 12-year gap. One franchise has attempted this, but they've done it on 2 different occasions. Denver, 86 and 98, they won the second of the Super Bowls, lost the first. Denver also attempted to do the 77 and 89, lost both Super Bowls. Teams on an 18-year gap, as San Francisco is, you've got, once again, the same franchise, the Dallas Cowboys, 77 and 95, they won both of those. And then Dallas, 75 to 93. They won the second but lost the first. So in both cases, a team coming off an 18-year gap won the Super Bowl the second of the 2 times. So is it getting weird enough for you yet?
Thought I didn't do podcasts with Mark Lawrence anymore.
Another one here. Cities winning championships here. For the first time since the Chouds were happy in 04 from both the Red Sox and the Patriots, San Francisco
That's
trying
right.
to go for the daily double.
Wow.
The Giants and the 49ers, the last time was 04. The time before that, and I'm not sure that this counts, 86 with the Giants and the Mets. But we always hear that supposedly a lot of Giants fans are Yankee fans, a lot of Jets fans are Mets fans. There's not a lot of cross-pollination.
And plus New York, that's kind of dirty because there's 4 teams involved.
Yeah, yeah. So that one's weird.
Did we know any other ones? Did
yes.
we go look back? Oh, I love this.
There's a 79 in Pittsburgh, Steelers and Pirates.
Okay, that one.
And 1970, Baltimore, the Orioles. And the Colts. So Baltimore is trying to play gatekeeper on San Francisco and keep them out of that club. Isn't that very interesting?
Yes, that's so very. Wow, that was. I liked that one. I liked that one.
You like that one? Okay.
That was better than the February 3rd one.
by the way, too, we've seen the earliest Super Bowl ever was on January 9th when it was the Raiders and the Vikings Super Bowl 11, and we've had them running through February 7th. Now that we're doing them in February. There have been 0 Super Bowls on February 2nd, but there will be next year at the Meadowlands. There have never been Super Bowls on these dates, and now there never will be. January 10th, January 19th, and January 23rd. Every other day between January 9th and February 7th has had a Super Bowl or will have a Super Bowl. So there's another one for you.
Wow.
Yeah.
You've really done your homework here.
I really, really have, yeah. And this game back in New Orleans, back in the Superdome here. Very interesting that the Superdome previously, one of the places to host a Super Bowl, the same day hosted 2 Super Bowls. On January 26th, they hosted Super Bowl 20 and they hosted Super Bowl 31. The other venue to host, and I think they've only had 2 Super Bowls, the Georgia Dome. Both of them were on January 30th. It was Super Bowl 28 and Super Bowl 34. Of course, Super Bowl 34, most notable for the unfortunate incident there where Ray Lewis murdered two people and ended up going down for that. And Ray Lewis, again, focus of the pregame publicity here along with the Harbaugh.
Unbelievable.
Ray Lewis
unbelievable.
And his antlers.
Just slander.
I didn't
just
know that,
slander.
I didn't know that Dwight Schrute was his roid pusher. I didn't know he was getting his stuff from
just unbelievable.
I heard that he is dedicating the Super Bowl to his favorite pro wrestler. That would, of course, be Jose Gonzalez. And he will wear the Invader number one mask on the 50-yard line after the game. Thoughts, Kyle?
Unbelievable. The slander from Cleveland Browns fans toward their more successful rival is disgusting. It's disgusting. It's disgraceful. It's irresponsible.
Thank you.
Quite frankly, I can't get enough of the storyline during the Super Bowl.
Well, and the Harbaughs, and you'd said before, you wanted it to be who did mom like best? And,
I can't get enough of those questions.
Well,
I can't get enough of those questions.
I'm sure it didn't get too tiresome at Media Day with all the chodes out there sticking their mics in people's faces.
How long have you been
that?
Jim Harbaugh's brother? It'd be great if Doug Williams asked that question.
Oh, that would be awesome. So ultimately, we tend to agree on we both agree on the outcome of the game, who's going to cover. Any prop bets that we should be talking about here?
There's two prop bets that I had my eye on.
Okay.
In the Pittsburgh Green Bay Super Bowl 2 years ago, I won both of these.
Okay.
I came back with them last year and lost both of them. But recent history suggests that they're both strong plays. I always like the ones where you can get plus money.
Okay.
A little return on investment. The first one I like is, will there be a defensive or special teams touchdown?
Okay.
You can get this at plus 140. And
for an affirmative?
Yes.
Okay.
For last year, there was not a non-offensive touchdown. For the previous five Super Bowls, there was.
Right.
So if you look at this year's playoffs, there were Baltimore, the game against Denver, there were three non-offensive touchdowns scored in that game. And then San Francisco threw a pick six in that game. So I just think as many times you see a kick return or an interception return, I like the defensive or special teams touchdown to cash. I've gone with that one. It worked in the Pittsburgh Green Bay one. I'll say yes, plus 140.
Okay.
The other one I like is, what quarter will be the highest scoring? Take the fourth at plus 200. Last year was when there was only 6 points scored, and it could have been seven, but there was a failed two-point conversion attempt by the Giants at the end. It was the first year that there hadn't been at least 15 points scored in the fourth quarter in the last 5 years.
Okay.
So the fourth quarter had been kind of disproportionately higher scoring for 4 years before last season. So those are the two I had my eye on.
All right. And you talk about non-offensive touchdowns. I guess one of the last substantive points that I have to make here in talking about this, a big edge on special teams for Baltimore with the return game and with the fact that, again, notwithstanding the fact that the Ravens have a rookie kicker.
David Green Akers stinks.
Yeah, he's been horrible.
He is awful. He's missed 13 of 42 field goal attempts and hit the upright in the NFC title game with a 38-yarder.
Could be shades of, if it's a close game, you don't want to think, could be shades of red right 88 when you don't want to send the kicker out there and the quarterback ends up making an unfortunate pass in the wrong instance here. So,
yeah.
You know, and Baltimore is pretty good on takeaways when they're at full strength. So there is that to consider as well. So that was, but again, you know, Baltimore, one of the things that they have done in strengthening their return game, the addition of Jacoby Jones, who has also done pretty well in the playoffs, but a guy who, and again, possibly one of the keys to the game, but you look at it here, and again, the guy's always had the speed, the guy's always had the tools, but what have I always said about the guy, Jacoby Jones, hands like January Jones? You know, is he going to revert to that at the worst possible moment, Kyle? He's never played on a bigger stage. I'll give you a moment to get your composure.
That's good.
Thank you.
What happened to her, by the way? No one really seemed to, she really got pushed out the way on
that
show.
Did she get knocked up by Jason Sudeikis, I believe?
Okay. Oh, okay. Really? Okay. I didn't know that.
Or it was somebody. I guess Sudeikis denied responsibility. Wasn't me, Shaggy style. But
how does that excuse work, by the way? Have you ever listened to the beginning of this song? He was caught red-handed. I never understood that.
By the way, recommendation for all the listeners, you want to check this out on YouTube, the mashup of Wasn't Me and Let It Be by the Beatles. It was, that is a great mashup. And I'm a whore for great mashups, and that is an awesome one.
Okay, I'll have to check that out.
They actually splice in the video between the two also, which seeing a bearded Paul McCartney going back and forth with Shaggy and his Jamaican rapper dude is pretty hilarious. It's a sight to behold.
I'm sure it is.
It certainly is. Last trivia note here. We've only had three East Coast, West Coast Super Bowls before, and they were within 4 years of one another. Super Bowl 15, Oakland, Philadelphia. Super Bowl 18, Washington and the L.A. Raiders. So you had Beltway versus Bay Area. That was after the Raiders moved. Never mind. And then Super Bowl 19, San Francisco, Miami. We have not had an East Coast, West Coast Super Bowl since then. Thoughts, Kyle Ross?
Wait, San Francisco. You're right, they played. I'm trying to think of San Francisco. I guess you're right, they played either Midwestern or even in some cases Western team San Francisco.
Yeah,
San Diego. 1 year. That was the huge point spread one.
Yeah.
They beat Denver, I remember that 1 year. And they beat Cincinnati a couple times.
So,
that's right.
Yeah, just kind of a goofy
thing. And they could be 6-for-6 in Super Bowls if they win here.
And that's my last note of trivia
I'm sorry,
here.
I didn't mean this to is, steal
no, no,
your
no,
thunder.
No, 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 no. You segued into it perfectly. You led me into this perfectly. Because this is one that's going to be a mind blower for people. We have one team in the NFL presently with more than one Super Bowl win that is perfect in the Super Bowl. And that will be the case after Sunday as well. San Francisco at 5-0 is the only team better than 1-0 that's undefeated. The only team with more than one win. Everybody else has lost one. Not the Steelers did a couple of years ago and really should have against Seattle, but for the refs. But anyways, they actually did against Green Bay.
Jealousy.
So you're looking at a circumstance here where Baltimore will either be 2-0 with San Francisco at 5-1, or San Francisco at 6-0 will stand alone atop Super Bowl supremacy as far as repeat winners goes.
Wow.
Yeah. Isn't that shocking?
Yeah, it is.
They're the only team that has not won or that has not lost one that's won more than one.
Yeah, because Green Bay lost to.
Denver,
that's right. Because they've
and,
got.
And what I still I voted for that in the Lounge Pantheon as the greatest Super Bowl.
That was the best game. That was a really good game.
It
I
really
remember
was.
That one. But they're 4-1. You're right. And
yeah.
Pittsburgh's got they've got two losses. Pittsburgh now.
This is how bad my memory was. I was saying to a friend of mine today, and then you got New England since they dumped the two previously, and my friend was like, "Did you remember them playing the Bears and then playing Green Bay?" I'm like, "That's right. Dumped a few before they became the Patriots."
Yes. They've got four Super Bowls. Wow, that's very interesting.
Yeah. That's very interesting. So that's who's it going to be? Your sense and my sense is that it's going to be San Francisco up there again and restored to that level and. 2 years after Harbaugh gets there, Kaepernick. The only caveat that I'm going to put on what you said about Kaepernick before is we got to see next year read option. Teams are going to have all year. The defensive coordinators will be barricading themselves in their offices all summer, having daylight piped in. It's an extra thing. He's not reliant on it. He's a very good passer.
He's not RG3. I was trying to think who to say he's
right.
not. I was going to say he's not Mike Vick, but Mike Vick is no longer that great threat.
And he doesn't
have
the frame of hustle like Russell. He's a guy who can take the pounding, of running the ball a little bit.
Yeah, it's interesting.
So
I think, we'll talk about these teams and what we think of them next year, but, there's always that Super Bowl loser's curse that kind of hangs over teams. With New England failing in the conference championship game,
They still made it further than most do, though.
They did, but it's still, I think you'd have to go back to Buffalo. You do have to go back to Buffalo to find the last time a Super Bowl loser got back to the Super Bowl.
That's right.
And don't you think Baltimore is a team more likely that just seems like, okay, they'll lose and then they'll drop off next year?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
That's I thought of that. I know it's kind of hard to quantify, almost impossible to, but that's a reason that I kind of think Baltimore is going to lose this game is that you usually see – the losing team drop off, not make it as far. And Baltimore's clearly the team. It's good. Look,
it's late
all jokes
run.
Ahead about end of an era.
Right.
But, by God, win, lose, or draw, this is Ray Lou's last ride.
Right.
Ed Reed's not going to get the money he wants. He might go somewhere else.
Right.
Flacco, he'll get paid. But particularly if he plays well Sunday. But they just seem like the team that is more likely for the drop-off.
You've been saying for a while now, because I think that was the reason you didn't pick them to win the division, because you were saying statistically teams like that don't win the division that many years in
they
a row.
They don't. And look, they've made the playoffs every year under John Harbaugh.
Yeah.
Unbelievable job.
Yeah.
What is this, 5-6 years in a row now that they've done it?
Yeah.
So I just think they're due for kind of a drop, and it would kind of tie into being the reigning Super Bowl loser.
Yeah, and that's the thing, too. This is maybe not their best team of the last couple of years. Offensively, maybe it is. Flacco's kind of coming into his own.
Well, no, the offense is scary because this is the only year under Lewis,
right.
with Ray Lewis, that they haven't been a top 10 defense last since, you know, the glory days when they won the first Super Bowl.
That's true. That's true. So, and again, you know, San Francisco building it very quickly, having great impact players, the Smith brothers there on defense, and Patrick Willis, and, you know, just all kinds of great stuff that they've got going there. There's going to be a lot of star power on display. And, again, not just Ray Lewis, a guy we haven't even mentioned, but a guy who could play at least something of a part in this thing. He's the third banana in the passing game for San Francisco, but Randy Moss could be his last game on Sunday as well, too. You're not hearing as much about him.
Yeah, I mean, what's he really done, though? I mean, he's not. Yeah. I mean, look, Ray Lewis isn't what he was either.
Right,
but
right.
Randy Moss, I think the decline has been far steeper for him.
Right. And Vernon Davis, you know, again, until the NFC Championship game, didn't have a whole lot going with Colin Kaepernick.
You mentioned that, right?
Yeah.
Because Seattle, the Seattle tight end, his name's escaping my mind right now, had a huge game against Atlanta, and San Francisco very clearly watched that.
Right.
And I was not surprised to see Davis have a big day against Atlanta. He could have a big day again, too, because as good as Lewis has been in the postseason, averaging nearly 15 tackles per game, he is still a liability in pass coverage at this stage of his career.
Let me ask you this. Do you make anything out of the fact that, again, Atlanta was able to air it out shockingly successfully in the first half against San Francisco? The way I look at it, it's Roddy White and it's Julio Jones. And as hot as Torrey Smith has been recently, he's kind of inconsistent. And Anquan Boldin, more of a possession guy still. I read into it that's probably the best combo of wide receivers in the league that did that. Maybe the Giants guys might say hi when I go to say that, but probably the best combo of receivers. I don't see that being transferable to Baltimore necessarily.
They won't have as much. San Francisco will not be down in this game 17-0
after
being assaulted by the opponent's passing game.
Right.
That will not happen.
Right. And again, we tend not to see big spreads happening in Super Bowls either. That's another thing to look for. People always get shocked whenever I say this. Again, I am always you know, enthralled by, you know, Super Bowl trivia things here. But the biggest comeback win ever in a Super Bowl is 10 points. Washington fell behind 10-0 on the Broncos, put up the next 42 on them.
Including 35 in the second quarter.
35
Timmy
in the second
Smith
quarter.
Timmy Smith had, you know, his literally 15 minutes of fame.
Very well put. They were all in the second quarter, 15 minutes on the scoreboard anyways. But, yeah, no, that's the biggest comeback ever. So when you fall behind double digits, it's curtains. So in this game Sunday, do not expect, if anybody falls behind, don't sit there going, it could happen. No. History shows that it will not. If it's 10 points or more, the game is decided. As shocking as that sounds, in the sample size of 46 Super Bowls, that's the way it goes.
One little thing I just saw, too.
What?
I just wanted a piece of trivia to contribute.
Okay.
It doesn't mean anything this year because it's not. The last three double-digit favorites in the Super Bowl have all lost outright.
Whoa. Ain't that some shiznit? Well, yeah. I know it was, the Patriots were against the Giants
And then they were on the shoe was on the other foot when they beat the Rams.
That's right. That's right.
And then, believe it or not, the Super Bowl you referenced, the Denver-Green Bay Super Bowl
that
most considered to be the finest ever, Green Bay was an 11.5-point favorite in that game.
Yeah, because it was the end of the era of NFC dominance.
Yes, that was,
The AFC then kind of started again. It wasn't as complete a run of dominance as the NFC had from the
mid-80s. That was incredible. What did they have? They had like 15 straight Super Bowl wins.
That's
unbelievable that happened.
They were talking in the 90s about, you know, I think we're going to have to reseed the teams, and just even if it's two NFC teams, then whatever, man. It should be Denver and San Francisco maybe in the Super Bowl. There was serious talk of that for a while. Then the AFC went on a run of
Dallas and San Francisco,
decade,
you mean.
Dallas and San Francisco, my bad. And that they went on a run of about a decade or so. But, again, the last couple of years, the pendulum has swung the other way between the Saints, the Giants, the Packers. And that's one of the things here, too. You and I have been beating the drum all year. The NFC is so much better than the AFC. And I've gone on record, and this would be shocking in some quarters, but I've said, because I do the same thing for the NBA that I do for the NFL, where I do the divisional and the conference power rankings, I think there is a greater spread between the NFC and the AFC than there is between the Western Conference and the Eastern Conference in the NBA. And I think that's one of the things working against Baltimore and working for San Francisco when you talk about being tested, not just tested in a division. And, by the way, I had that division ranked as tougher than the AFC North. So even though Baltimore was in the toughest division in the AFC, toughest division in the weaker conference, obviously.
Yeah.
So San Francisco tested. They played a first-place schedule because they – now, so did Baltimore. They both won their divisions last year. But a first-place schedule means more in the NFC when you're playing, you know, the Titans that have won those divisions. So, again, you and I think, have a lot to back up our picks on this game. And yet, I know we both have a feeling that this is a game that could swing either way, certainly.
You know, we talked about it a few times in the last couple weeks when breaking down the playoff matchups, that the point spread, more often than not, does not factor into the final result. Usually the straight-up winner also covers the spread.
Right.
You know, typically people who like to play the underdog in the Super Bowl do so on the money line.
Right.
Because the underdog often... only recent instance of the point spread coming into play. Well, there was a few actually in the early part of the decade. I know the New England ones, this happened.
Mm-hmm.
But Arizona was the last underdog to cover but not win the game outright when
okay.
they lost to Pittsburgh. But there have been some other instances. I know, yeah, actually both of New England's wins over Carolina and Philadelphia back-to-back years, they won but didn't cover.
Okay.
And I'm kind of – I have that suspicion that this game – no matter what way you bet it, you're going to be sweating late.
That's what I think,
You're going to be sweating late. I do not see either team winning this game by more than a touchdown.
No, I would agree with that. And like I said, I'm just kind of hacking it up a little bit by saying that Baltimore goes for two and doesn't make it, just so that I'm not sitting on four, because I wanted to put it on four, but I don't want to look completely gutless, so I'm going to say San Francisco wins by five. But so that's our pick, Kyle. Again, we happen to both agree on it in this game. I think we agreed on Championship Sunday as well.
Yeah, we
correct?
Had both San Francisco and Baltimore. Look, results will vary. I mean, if you by the time the show was up and the line was over four, mm-hmm. it got up to 4.5. But,
yeah.
You know, Baltimore was certainly, you know, it was interesting on the other side there. Baltimore, who we both like to cover but not necessarily win, you know, obviously came through in flying colors.
Yeah, we said puncher's chance, and I guess that's what it comes down to. I guess that's the bottom line in the Super Bowl. We like San Francisco, but how can you not say Baltimore's got a puncher's chance under the circumstances here? So under the big top in the is it, the Mercedes-Benz Superdome
it
in New Orleans?
It is indeed, yes. Yes, it is. I had to get that in one last time. Didn't
one
we?
Last time, exactly. And because it's CBS, we won't have the delicious Pam Oliver on the sidelines, yeah. Nor will we have the lovely tanned Laura Oakman on the sidelines. So.
And, you know, multi-time FDH guest that Kenny Albert will not be on the call.
That's true. Okay. He will not be on the call either. Although, you know what? He had the international call last year, and I'll be interested to see if he does. That was a pretty cool thing, actually, because if you think about it, and this is completely under the radar, he might have been calling the game before more people than the domestic audience when you think about worldwide. Now, I realize that, again, you're talking about a sliver of the rest of the world that's watching this, but the rest of the world does dwarf our population. So
sure.
Kenny Albert was calling the game before a gazillion people last year. It was
good
just something
him.
That was kind of under the radar. Yeah, I'm hopeful that he will be again. Now four-time lounge guest. We just had him a few weeks ago on the program. A great guy and always a friend of the show, very gracious to us. But Kyle, we'll be looking at a little bit of a recap for this past season and an early look ahead to 2013. We're going to have these things dribbling out here in the days and weeks to come. But as far as on a week-by-week basis for the season, this wraps it for us. So it has been a great campaign, my man. Again, you were 7-2-1 against the number in the playoffs, 61% regular season. I said going into the thing here, without a net, nobody ever in the gambling industry does this, puts it all on the record, all the star picks, everything like that. You did it without a record. It's all fully documented, and a great season by you, and a lot of fun for me to do it with you.
It was. It's been great to do it, and, you know, hey, there's always next year.
Yep. We'll be breaking it down for you then. Something to look forward to early, folks. The 2013 NFL season coverage from the FDH Lounge. We'll end it on that great note.
As we bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, all Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, IamBored.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classic, NBA TV, NFL Network, Sports Time Ohio, Athlon Magazine,
Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Papermate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, The Writers of The Office, Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse and the Boondocks, Awkwafina, and The Periodic Table of Elements.